get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Oh, goody. This would be Sports Talk, right? The Tuesday edition of the big program. We've got one of those weeks where we're a little off scheduling kilter, as we've got, a Pac-12 championship game on Friday at 5 o'clock. By the way, this 1-4 matchup, they've got a tournament going on at the Yum Center. It's 18-5, Michigan off winning that. I wanted to call it the Paradise Valley Jam. I forgot, what the hell was the tournament the Ducks were in the Bahamas? The Battle for Atlantis?
Battle for Atlantis with the number 4. Very important distinction.
Super Bowl IV was played this week. God, I remember. I thought it was like way back in 1970. But, All right, Hamilton. Welcome. Of course, you know, we get down to this time of year, and you've got, what, 6 games on this weekend, and then Army-Navy, and then no games for a couple weeks, and then you get your bowls, and, you know, the NFL has a tendency to kind of own December. Then, you get around to the major bowl games. And then by about January 10th, you start thinking, ooh, we're into conference play and hoops and the NFL playoffs, and all that good stuff. Right now, Louisville's up 21-7 on Go Blue. What a job Juwan Howard has done. I mean, this guy had an 18-year NBA career. You know, he's obviously, member of the Fab Five. But, you know, that was almost a quarter century ago. As a matter of fact, it was a quarter century ago. And he hasn't been back in the college game. Never was even an assistant at the collegiate level, and he got the Michigan job when beelined for Cleveland of the NBA. And a lot of times, especially with early success, you get folks talking about doing things the right way, and you certainly hope that's the case. But I saw some video that a Michigan fan put together that had to do with the way his players conduct themselves, whether it's during games and how they interact with opponents after the game, the way they kind of do the handshake line and look the opponent in the eye, and with the coaches, the way they interact with officials. It seems very sportsmanlike and respectful of the game, which I believe there is an eternal place for. And while he's really done nothing wrong except rub me the wrong way, I got nothing against Harbaugh. But I've always liked Juwan Howard. And, you know, play 18 seasons in the NBA. Obviously, he's a terrific player. Always seemed to be kind of a happy guy, interacted well with the media, and just always seemed to, he always seemed to have a good quality about him. So it would be kind of, well, people are talking about, are they Final Four worthy? It's like, all right, what's really interesting, I guess, is the fact that they're, I'd like to know if a team's ever made this kind of a meteoric rise in 5 weeks, because I went back and looked. The preseason rankings, I first looked and was like, wow, they didn't even get a call. Bottom line is they did. They got a total of 2 votes. So, you know, where does that usually leave you in the preseason? Like 40th? So, and remember, it's only week 5, so it's only been 4 weeks of action. Yeah, so they were 2. So you had 26, 7, 8, 9, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 40, 1, 2. They were 43rd in the preseason poll. They've gone past 39 teams. So that's pretty impressive. All right. Let's not give out the phone number. I will give a shout out to my friends at the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, Sue and Ron and the great folks over there, your longtime supporters and sponsor of the hotline. Been in business for all your diesel needs and more since 1974. Online, Oregon Fuel Injection. .com. Monday Night Football last night. Oh, I was talking NBA. I've got to point this out. You guys know how much I love those crazy statistics. So one of my favorite things after watching Monday Night Football now, if the game's not so good, which last night was great, is Van Pelt takes right over. And, you know, he had the bad beats, and there were some unbelievable ones with Stanford Steve. But he posted the stats. So the Suns are trailing Charlotte. And they post the statistic that this decade, when the Phoenix Suns are losing by 7 or more in the last 2 minutes, guess what their record is? I'll put it to you this way. They've played 358 of those games prior to last night. They were 1-357. Led by Kelly Oubre Jr., they are now 2-357. And that's good. That's good. I live for that kind of stuff. As for the Seahawks, that was more history. So Russell Wilson joins Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, the only quarterbacks ever to have 8 straight winning seasons with at least 3,000 yards passing. And the amazing thing about Wilson, that's all he's done. He's, you know, from his first season, that's what he's done. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump in there, you're going to have to wait a little bit. Otherwise, you can always feel free to text us, 321-0824. You can hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore. For the station at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly. You can hit up Nick at Rick Nodgers. But right now, let's lock up the phones. Talk some Duck hoops. Now back after their first road journey of the regular season, the Virgin Islands Paradise Jam. No game until Sunday when the Jackrabbits of South Dakota visit Eugene. Follow the head coach on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves, welcome back to the mainland. How are things with you, coach?
Hey, pretty good. I'm actually just driving back to Eugene from Portland. I hope, do you hear me okay?
Yeah, actually you sound great. If I didn't know you were driving, I wouldn't know you were driving.
Okay, buddy. All right, let's go. No, it was good to be home. And that last, I guess it was Sunday when we came home, We left the Virgin Islands about, I don't know, 10 o'clock our time here. We didn't get home until 6 a.m. on Monday morning, yesterday morning. So we traveled darn near 24 full hours.
I need a nap just thinking about it. You know, I'm always curious. That's a unique venue. You're in the Virgin Islands during the holidays. I'm kind of curious, how passionate are the locals there about basketball?
Well, they really like it, and that tournament's been there over 20 years. So, you know, it's an established event, both in the men's and the women's, and so I think the locals really get behind it. In our particular tournament, the games in the evening were really well attended because there was one of the starters from South Carolina is actually from the Virgin Islands, from St. Thomas there.
Oh.
So those games got a little bit crazy from what I understand. I didn't go to any, but I heard they were pretty packed.
Before we get into the specifics, on Twitter, I love that you always post these informative videos, what you're practicing, and I like to watch them and then watch your games and see how they're implemented. You've been coaching a while. How good is this particular group at taking what you and your assistants drill in these sessions and carrying it onto the court game day?
Oh, I think pretty good. You know, Steve, I think one of the keys to our coaching and our players over the years is, you know, we're consistent. We've done the same thing for years. I've run the same offense for the last more than a decade. You know, we'll tweak it a little bit here and there because of, you know, either matchup advantage or talent, you know, unique talent that we might have on this year's team. But the basics are the same. And so we're running the same drills daily that we did when Sabrina got here. And I think that's one of the, I think, problems that young coaches have. You know, they don't, it takes them some time to establish what kind of program, what kind of system they want to run. And so this year they might run the triangle. Next year the ball screen. Next year the read and react. And so, in essence, they have 15 freshmen every year, you know, because everybody's learning something new. And I think the advantage we have is, you know, we just have three or four new freshmen, and then our returners kind of take them under their wings and teach them, you know, and as well as the coaches. And so I think it makes it so our team understands what we do, we can execute it well. And that's kind of been our MO over the last several years.
You know, one of the things we've talked about in the past, but not yet this year, and you never know who's listening for the first time, but I love watching your assistant, Jody Berry, during games, you know, how engaged she is and how much she has the players' attention. Kind of like Dana Altman with Kevin McKenna, been with you so long. How beneficial is it to have somebody who's been at your side for nearly two decades, who's like so in sync with what you're doing?
Well, yeah, it's invaluable, and we she and I are on the same page in pretty much everything we do. I joke with Mary, my wife, a lot that, you know, I'm actually with Jody more, you know, and know her probably better, and she knows me better than maybe Mary does, and we've been married 25 years. You know, you learn about somebody when you're in the heat of battle, you know, but Jody, with, you know, full disclosure here, Steve, she's the key to the program. She's the backbone of our program, and I think if you asked any of our players, they would tell you the same thing. You know, if you ever need anything, you know, our players go to her. I tell our recruits, you can call me if you need something, but I'm just going to call Jody. So cut out the middle person and go straight to her. But you know, she's great. She's got a great offensive mind. She works with our post players. She's a good recruiter, but she does all the detailed work that every program needs, you know, and so, yeah, I love her to death and rely on her a lot.
Talking hoops with Kelly Graves, who's on the move. You and I have been tracking your freshmen so far this season, whether it's how they held up against Team USA, their first real Pac-12 action, first road game at Syracuse. So Holly Winterburn, Lucy Cochran, Jazz Shelley all played the first two games. I saw just Jazz against Louisville. So now, first time you've seen them under tournament conditions in college, how do you think they held up?
Oh, I think they're doing fine. You know, they're like any other freshman. They're struggling with, you know, the jump in level of play. But they're all going to be fine. I think Jazz had a pretty nice tournament down there. She's just so steady. You know, Holly is playing great. I didn't play her against Louisville mainly because, you know, well, I don't know. Maybe I should have. But, you know, we haven't been stroking the ball like we've been accustomed in. And I don't know, I just felt like I needed to go with the veteran kids more during that game. But she and Jazz and Lucy all figure into our future plans. There's no question about it. And, you know, I've been real pleased with their efforts so far.
Your transfer, Mignon Moore, who played maybe her two best all-around games against Oklahoma State, then the Cardinals, and certainly we know how highly regarded she was. How would you evaluate how quickly she's been able to, you know, fit in with such a good team with such high expectations after just seven games?
Well, you know, Steve, I think she's actually doing really well, you know, she's different than the players that we typically get at that position. And so she's learning, just like we're trying to learn how to best use her and her talents and abilities. So I think, you know, you hit it right on the head. She had a couple of really good games down there. So she's starting to assimilate into what we do, and we're, you know, doing the same to her. So, yeah, I think by the time Pac-12 play comes around, she's gonna be fitting in seamlessly. I still would like her to kind of help our defense create a little bit more. I don't think in our last three or four ball games we're making a whole lot happen defensively, and I was hoping that that's what she would give us. So I think we got to turn her loose a little bit and just let her go out and create havoc like you do basically in your everyday life.
Wow, you know me better than I thought.
Oh yeah, I've been here. This is my sixth year, buddy. I know you. I know, and I know people who know you, so.
All right. Well, unless you got a video, I'll deny everything, Coach.
okay.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to, I meant to ask you, so how's my buddy Stephanie Norman doing down there at Louisville?
Well, she's doing well, and she has bragging rights now. I mean, come on. Hey, I'll tell you what, we couldn't throw it in the ocean. I was kidding the team. They needed to put us in a freezer to heat us up. We were that frigid. 6 of 35 from the three-point line, and, you know, maybe the last five or six of them were kind of desperation dumb threes, but man alive, we just couldn't buy a basket down there. But, yeah, Stephanie's doing great. She's obviously got a really good team, and you know, but I think that game will do us well down the stretch.
Yeah, for folks who, you know, obviously it wasn't on regular TV. It was on, you know, I forget who even, I wasn't able to do anything except for listen to Terry. That Louisville team, you know, off an Elite Eight season. I mean, of the eight players in their rotation, just one freshman. So obviously disappointed, but safe to say that's a really dangerous group of Cardinals you played.
Oh, they were, and you know, they just played really hard, and they played with some edge and toughness and physicality, and we didn't, quite frankly, we didn't. They defended better than we did, and they took us out of our game, and like I said, we just couldn't buy a basket. We controlled the game for a good portion of that first half, and then the second half we couldn't make a basket, and we didn't do a good job of getting the ball inside to Ruthie as well as we should have. And, you know, and just it kind of spiraled. But in the end, I don't think that's the kind of game that's going to hurt us. It's going to make us better. I always tell the team, you either win or you learn. And I think we learned about that. I anticipate we're going to come out and play real well Sunday against a very good South Dakota State team. My goodness.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, your next game is noon at Matt Knight Arena, South Dakota State, who plays between now and then. You went to Brookings last year, played them. Then they came to Portland in the Sweet 16, and both games were pretty tight. So you got to believe this is going to be a pretty challenging group of Jackrabbits.
Oh, yeah, no question. I think they're coming off winning the Cancun Challenge, including beating Notre Dame by double digits, I believe. They're a good team. They're hard to play against because they're so schooled fundamentally, and they space the floor well. They play really hard. They have interchangeable parts, well coached. It's going to be a really good game. And again, our last stretch of four or five games have been against really, really good teams. So, I know our kids are going to be happy and excited to be back home because it's been a few weeks.
Yep, you guys are certainly battle-tested. Folks, he's Kelly Graves, noon on Sunday. Obviously, we'll have the game on KUGN. If you're looking for it on TV, it'll be on the Pac-12 Network. On Twitter, follow at GoDucksKG. Coach, I'm happy you were able to drive and chat at the same time. Travel safe back to Eugene. Good luck Sunday, and we'll talk next week.
Steve, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I've had a lot of you texting about the football team and about what happens if Oregon loses. First, we don't know, but since the college football playoff was born in 2014, there is a contractual obligation to take a Pac-12 team in a year where the Rose Bowl isn't in the playoff rotation. So if a Big Ten or a Pac-12 team were to make the college football playoff, it would go to, you would assume, the next highest rated team, which would be Oregon. So somebody says, was the Oklahoma-Washington State Rose Bowl was the last time they picked a non-Big Ten Pac-12 team? So last year it was Washington-Ohio State. Then the year before that, it was Georgia-Oklahoma, but that was a playoff game. Then in 17, it was Penn State-USC. Then in 16, Iowa-Stanford. Then ironically, Oregon played Florida State for the playoff, 2014. Then it would be, the answer is the January 2011 game, TCU against Wisconsin in a more traditional Rose Bowl year where Oregon went to the national championship game and the Rose Bowl took TCU over the next best Pac then 10 team. Okay. Somebody mentioned, oh yeah, I see, going back to 2003. So the answer was that was the next to last time. It happened more recently in January of 2011. And by the way, what a great game that was, I remember. 21-19. All right, before we take a break, me or the show just fly by today? Man. Our friends
This is about 10 minutes less or more show than we did yesterday, so yeah, it feels like it's flown by.
Yeah, I actually feel like yesterday's show took longer and I was already halfway home.
Well, what did I do about it?
I don't know. Quick shout out to our friends at the Josh Cooley team, your official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks, who they want to help you with some really critical things, primarily home values, executing your goal, because if you go online to a site that offers home values, offering program based on zip code, well, what good is it if you're 25% off on the price and then you need to sell your house to buy a house and you're counting on X amount of dollars for your down payment and you don't have an accurate number to begin with? That doesn't help anybody. More importantly, it doesn't help you. So the folks at Josh Cooley want to provide that five diamond client service that'll get you what you want, because right now, selling a home, preparing to move is a lot more than hammering a for sale sign into the ground and accepting know, any kind of an offer. Now it's tougher to get to the finish line. And if you deal with the inexperienced, lesser agents, whether it's an appraisal condition or a home inspection, the rug could get pulled out in an instant. So you don't want to gamble here, especially in the fourth quarter with anybody but the best in the business. Call Josh and his team. 359-1999. You can start a home valuation assessment online, by the way, at eugenere.com/sell. You absolutely want to deal with the best in the business with a proven track record, and that is Josh Cooley and his team. Again, the phone number, 359-1999. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do just that. And then we'll return with an update and more sports talk. 95.3, The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Jimmy's really developed a reputation as one of the up-and-coming assistants in all of college football, and if he didn't get the shot here to become a head coach, I mean, it's certainly very possible that that opportunity would have come elsewhere. I mean, he comes from the defensive side of the ball, has a background coaching defensive backs, spent some time in the NFL, coaching secondaries there, has been with Pearson since the Boise State days, has really just done a nice job of seeing his star rise.
Kyle Bonagur, ESPN, on... Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake. I understand they had an introductory press conference. And basically, Chris Peterson kind of just like showed up and was gone. And well, is he going to coach him in the bowl game? Or is it already moving on?
It's Peterson through the bowl game.
All right.
And then he's stepping down to a leadership advisory role within the athletic department.
Very strange. Very strange.
Which is, again, one of those positions that and job titles that, like, it sounds like a great way to launder money. It's just like, oh, yeah, he's the executive vice president of basketball operations. That's a fake title. He's stepping into a leadership advisory role within the athletic department. What does that mean? That's not a position. Is that an associate athletic director position? Because that's a real position, so he would be doing a lot of things, but he's not going to be, like, helping out the volleyball and the softball, the basketball teams. Like, he'd just be doing football stuff, so just say he's, like, a football advisor, but that would be a coach, and he's not coaching. That made sense, right?
A little bit.
Am I too skeptical?
A little bit. So their athletic director is not on the outs or anything, because your natural tendency would be, well, are they looking to make a move at athletic director? I don't think so. Jennifer Cohen has only been on the job for about 3 years. Just one of three female ADs among the Power Fives, and the only one in the Pac-12. So it's a unique situation. Hey, I remember there was a big to-do when I first moved to town, and they fired Don Munson, and they wanted him to be reassigned rather than just take a buyout. And for those of you who are Ducks and familiar, wasn't it there something like they wanted him to like help out and be an assistant golf coach, so at least he was earning whatever buyout money they were paying him? That kind of sticks in my mind. I'm not 1,000,000% sure, but it does ring a bell. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I don't know what this means. There's a tweet out there from Isaiah Hodgins, the spectacular wide receiver for Oregon State, and he was a junior coming into this game, right? Yeah, junior. So being this decision has taken a lot of thought, blah, blah, blah. I would not be in this position, blah, 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 blah. I want to thank the coaches for helping me develop on and off the field. We'd like to thank the fans at Oregon State. Oh, here it is. I figured it was going here, but I didn't want to be presumptuous. So with all this being said, he's announcing he will be declaring for the draft, foregoing his senior season, and representing the Beavs at the next level. Then a whole bunch of thanks here, thanks there, blah, 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 blah. So he is he's out of the contest. Go ahead.
Tannenism.
I noticed you had to do the old switcheroo. So there you go. Now we'll start to see this as far as, you know, when it comes to this Duck roster, you know, Jordan Scott's a junior. Anybody out there, if you were a betting man, think there's a chance he declares? You know, Carlberg, Bryson Young are out. They're not out. Lamar Winston, they're seniors. In the secondary, I'd be very surprised if Graham or Breeze or Pickett or Lenore declared as juniors. I would not be surprised if a year from now, Javon Holland declared as a junior, because he's an NFL player. Obviously, Troy Dye is out. Herbert is out. As far as NFL prospects, you know, Juwan Johnson is a senior. And then, of course, the big guns on the offensive line, Shane Lemieux, Jake Hansen, Dallas Warmack, Brady Aiello, and Doc Throck are all seniors as well. And we talked about it a bit on the post game. I saw somebody mention it. It might have been Scopes, Eric Scopel, talking about, you know, it doesn't get talked a lot about because of the position, but somebody's going to have to step up for Blake Mimone as the punter. He's exceptional. I mean, he's flipped the field multiple times at key junctures this season. So another one. Yeah, there, you know, a lot of talk, and justifiably so, about how Coach Cristobal and his guys have crushed on the recruiting trail. Well, if they're going to go from the North champ and in the hunt for the playoff up until the next to last game of the regular season, and for the Rose Bowl until, you know, up until and including the championship game, some of those recruits, some of those redshirts, some of those freshmen who we only, or sophomores who we only got to see a little bit of, like, let's call the Popo, Amuvai and DJ Johnson, Matua Tia.
Wow, you got that one.
And by the way, it only took me till December 3rd. We started following him 4 months ago.
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't get it like a month before. It's like, oh, is Matata, is Isaac going to be going to the NFL after his third year?
No, I'm surprised he hasn't played 4 years, and like now in his senior year. So that linebacker, 41, you think he's going pro? Still don't have it.
Isaac. Is Isaac going pro?
Actually, I got to thank, who was doing TV before the Arizona State game? I don't have the schedule. Yeah, maybe it was that. I was watching, whoever was doing the highlights for the Pac-12 network was very emphatic about it. They called him Matua Tia. You know, it was almost like they were giving a diction lesson over the air. Matua Tia. And I was like, I got it. I finally got it. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ron. Ron, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve T. How are you, buddy?
All right, what's up?
Hey, just wanted to share a story I read on Jordan Scott. Apparently the kid came in with the goal of playing 3 years and going to the league, and he has studied abroad. He's done summer classes, et cetera, has his degree, and most likely is gone.
Wow. You know, I haven't even get I hadn't given it a second thought until I just had the depth chart in front of me. I didn't know that. That's good information, but bad information considering what a terror he would have continued to be as a senior.
Exactly, yes. Apparently he got his studies in line right from the get-go, and it'd be sad to not see him out there wreaking havoc next year, but good for him, I guess, right?
Well, how dare he have his life in order and not focus on what Oregon fans need, Ron?
Hey, amen to that.
Hey, thanks a lot, pal. Always good to hear him from you. All right, 284-8571, Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Is that our first insider bit of information for the 2019 season?
Yeah, we probably should have used our sources better at this
point. So in a race, who won? Him graduating from this fine institution in 3 years, or me not graduating from two colleges and still with no degree in 41 years? How close is that race?
Boy, you know, it's if they remade the tortoise and the hare, the hare wins that one in a landslide from the get-go, yeah.
All right, one more phone call before our final break. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Steve Tannen. I want to say, what is your predictions on Justin Herbert and his teammates? Because I want to say Gold Ducks against Utah for the Pac-12 championship in California. And another thing is I want to say happy Christmas to all of you guys in Oregon. My family and I are driving December 6th to Cape Coral Fort Myers in Florida, December 6th. I want to wish everybody a good year 2019 and 2020. Everybody to choose kindness and not make threats in this nation.
All right. Travel safe, my man. Take it easy. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Wait a minute. I just realized exactly what he said. I knew our buddy Steven was moving. I knew he was moving to Florida. Wow, that's a drive. I mean, seriously, in the continental United States. So it's a tough drive from Hawaii. And obviously, Alaska, it's a long one. You got to incorporate part of the northern hat known as Canada. So basically, from a notable city to Florida, Seattle, and then the next big notable town would be Portland, then Eugene. Man, that's a hike. And this time of year, I mean, you got to watch, what do? Just go I-5 straight and then hang a left at Sacramento, Route 80, and then just start going through, is it Texas or
You've got to go around the Rockies at some point. So you can either go all the way down the West Coast and then straight over, because basically the drive from Arizona to like through Texas and Louisiana and everything, pretty straight shot. I think you would rather spend the time going south on the West Coast on 5 because it's just a straight line and then go over as opposed to trying to go around the Rockies. You got a lot of up and downs. You're probably driving a trailer with all of your stuff in it. That's a lot of, just go the straight line route, you know? At least that's what I think I would do.
The only way I ever drive cross country, I think I brought this up before, I'm retired. And I've got a really cool rig and a driver. I don't know if I have it in me. And we are totally stopping in Vegas. We are totally stopping in the middle of the country and doing the tour of all the ballparks in Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Milwaukee. So clearly it's baseball season. Although you could do a double dip. I mean, I guess if you go around May and, you know, some of those teams are good, how awesome would that be to, like, one day baseball, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB. I mean, you know, see, like, you know, get day baseball and, like, for, like, a week, go to, like, 21 different events. Go see the Red Wings, you know, in the playoffs and then Wrigley Field.
It sounds like at the end of it you're selling your rig because you spent all of your money on tickets and hot dogs and beer.
Well, that would be the key is that I would have saved for retirement and this trip in particular. Yeah, I'm selling the rig. Who's kidding? No. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll come back. We'll have the tweet of the day and then put the wraps on a Tuesday, 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostroot Sports Desk.
Bup.
The Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. Some late breaking news from at Inside USC, which is a blog that's run by Scott Wolf. He is tweeting out that USC has supposedly given Clay Helton until Thursday to find another job, and USC has spoken to Bob Stoops and is making a hard push at Urban Meyer to replace him. They have made some sort of delays in some announcements that they've put out. He's also saying this isn't 100%. So Clay Helton has been told, you have to find a new job before we hire your replacement, which is
what?
Very, very interesting. A great tweet of the day that would have been our tweet of the day, but I'm breaking the rules for it. At EDSBS, EDSBS, every day should be Saturday, the college football playoff tweeting out, Alabama football, number 12. Got 12, Bama? Alabama losing the Iron Bowl, potentially, because he had 12 men on the field.
Wow.
That is spectacular. That is just an absolutely incredible, incredible thing that happened. It was just so good. Let's see. You went over the roasting of Ruth on Twitter. We've got some coconut. Oh, by the way, the 2-year anniversary of Mark and Tennessee's call for Coconut Up is coming up on Friday. So I think we're either going to have to postpone the celebration until Monday or have it,
on Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So send us you wearing your Coconut Up t-shirts if you're just wandering around. You know, in honor of the anniversary. But our tweet of the day, I'll just get to it now. It is from Saturday, but we didn't have one yesterday or from the weekend, and I bend the rules a little bit here. At Luke Zim, tweeting out a video. This is Luke Zimmerman. Just an incredible story. He tweets, both of Michigan State corner Josh Butler's parents died when he was in college, so they let him come out for senior day with his two dogs, Roxy and Remy, and it's spectacular. It will melt your heart, and if you don't have one, you will grow a heart, and it will immediately melt. That is just the best thing that Michigan State could ever do for Josh Butler, a cornerback on the team. That is just spectacular. He was able to celebrate senior day, and they were able to accommodate his dogs being on the field. That's fantastic stuff. Thanks to @LukeZim for the refreshing tweet of the extended weekend. And you can follow us on Twitter at 953TheScore. We're also on Instagram and Facebook, 953TheScore. And I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
Well, all righty then.
No, JDI.
Hey, still my show, sort of. Little NBA thought or two. Blazers at Clippers tonight. Back end of the TNT doubleheader. Some good college hoops on tonight. No Ducks, men or women, till the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And we talked about Carmelo and his ability to relatively quickly gel with the backcourt studs so far, but you know, let's call it what it is, lesser competition. Can only get so excited about beating the Bulls in Oklahoma City. So the Clips tonight, a slightly improved Kings and the Lakers on Friday. So that's who PDX plays the rest of the week. A lot more TBD. Stay tuned. I'm definitely looking forward to catching some of this game tonight because of I don't know, the way it's been scheduled, I've only really seen bits and pieces of Toblesores since they got They Call Me Mellow Yellow. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Michigan shot 20% in the first half. They fell behind by 16 points against the number one team in the country, Louisville. They fought their way back and to within 6 points. But now Cardinal, who are pounding it inside, doing damage on the glass, are now up 12. But, you know, 14 minutes ago in the game. And for those who missed it, we didn't chime about it last hour very much. But the new college football playoff committee rankings are out. And with Alabama losing, Utah, number 5 in the country, Oklahoma 6, with Minnesota getting worked by Wisconsin, Baylor is number 7. So you've got the Pac-12. You've got the Big 12 championship game, kind of what we thought would be the Pac-12 championship game. You know, 5-6, 5-7, 6-7, it's a 6-7. But, you know, reading in between the lines, it really does seem like if Utah wins, they're going to go to the playoff. And our buddy Mike Yam, who will join us on the show Thursday of the Pac-12 Network, tweeted out of the number of the fifth teams, the number 5-ranked teams, all but one have gotten in. And the only one that didn't was Michigan, because they had not qualified for their conference championship game. So that bodes well. It guarantees nothing.
Nothing.
But it bodes well. And just out of curiosity, Wisconsin, Florida, Penn State, Auburn, Alabama, and Oregon round out the 8 through 13. Wisconsin obviously plays Ohio State. So let's say the Buckeyes lose. Would Oregon end up playing? And I'm thinking if Oregon loses, they still have a really good chance of getting selected for the Rose Bowl if the Utes get picked for the college football playoff. Would you rather see Oregon Penn State, Oregon Wisconsin, or Oregon Michigan in the Rose Bowl? I think Penn State would be my choice. I don't think Michigan with 3 games lost is worthy. Wisconsin would have a 3rd loss. I think it would end up, and I'm not guaranteeing anything, Oregon and Penn State, which would probably make for a really, really good game. But like I said, that all remains in front of us with action and games to settle it all. Have yourselves a magnificent evening. Look forward to catching up with you tomorrow for Crunch Time and Sports Talk right here on 95.3 The Score.